38, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. We're 1 week away from students, and we're now today taking teachers back in Santa Rosa County Schools. Of course, the news out of Santa Rosa County Schools last week was very, very unpleasant, as something on the order of 80 teachers were going to be let go. 80 teachers moved over to remote learning. Joining us now to talk about that and all of the other issues related to returning to school, Superintendent Santa Rosa County Schools, Tim Rosdick. Tim, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew, and good morning, Pensacola, Pensacola area. It certainly is a dynamic time in education and one that we will continue to work through diligently. Certainly, we're seeing a lot of change, and, of course, COVID is largely responsible for a lot of that change, and we're dealing with it each piece at a time. So it's a different world we live in today.
Yeah, it definitely is. And obviously, we're going to get to the teachers here in just a second, but I did want to give you a moment to talk. It's related to that, obviously. But today is the first day back for teachers. What is that going to look like for them as we're a week out from students returning?
Absolutely. It is certainly different. We bring teachers back today, and they're excited about a new school start, as we always are. There's just always a sense of anticipation. You get to collectively get around your peers, although we will practice all of those safety measures that we left school with. We will social distance. We will not have groups any more than 10 or 15. Wear masks, all of those normal safety precautions that have become normal. The difference this year is, of course, is twofold. One is dealing with the myriad of changes that COVID brings us, such as what does a classroom look like? How do you set up your learning modules? What do groups look like inside the learning modules? All of those pieces are just different. As well, we are launching, of course, a new training session for remote learning. So much of our work this week will be to bring teachers on board and educate them in the just the process and structure of something as simple as how do you present a digital document and how do you receive a digital document from a child. And all this is in preparation for, you know, making certain that we are ready to go and stood up for any remote learning. Of course, we have the remote learning school that we have stood up. We have a virtual school that we've stood up as well. So all of those rest a little bit differently from the normal classroom teacher. What have we tried to do, though, Andrew, is make certain that the experience that the brick-and-mortar student is having inside the classroom, those same resources, those same examinations, all of the resources that you see in the classroom are available remotely as well, so that if a child and when a child moves back into brick-and-mortar or vice versa, they're seeing the same curriculum, they're seeing the same experience, and we want to make certain that the quality is still there. So it's a big week for us, 5 days of intensive work to get ready for those students to return next Monday. It is always, regardless of COVID or not, it is always an exciting time for our teachers, and they enjoy it.
Well, it is a big time. It's a lot of changes this year and a lot of learning curve to grow, you know, to get over, obviously. Of course, the big horrible news, as we talked about last week, and I know you and I communicated several times off the air about this, was the decision to release about 80 teachers. By the way, has that number changed? Are we still, is that the vicinity, about 80 moving to remote learning and about 80 teachers being let go?
And I can talk to that briefly if you'd like me to. You know, first of all, that is a horrible, horrible experience, and my heart goes out to those that we had to release. However, we work from how many students are enrolled in our schools, and that's the precipice. And between last May when we left school and committed to these teachers and now, we've lost nearly 1,200 students, and so that's a lot of students. That's a lot of students to, you know, to be able to grapple with. And
When you say lost, Tim, sorry to interrupt, but when you say lost, you mean they're moving to virtual learning or private school, or what do you mean by lost?
Great question. If it was virtual school, they would still be our student,
right. Unless
they went to Florida Virtual, then that's, we do lose some. We have lost some to Florida Virtual. We have lost some to private. But our largest loss has been parents moving their children to homeschool. We left last year with nearly 1,200 students in homeschool. We are approaching 2,000 students as of last week. And all that took place over the summer, mainly in late June and early July, when we asked parents to, you know, declare where they were going to send their child. And homeschool students, you know, they obviously are taught by a qualified parent or a learning coach at home. We receive $0 and zero funding for those. So all those teachers that were hired to teach those students basically have had to be let go. And as difficult as this is, we try to make all of our decisions based upon, you know, the student and what is the best educational decision. Unfortunately, economics does play a large role in our work, and we are required to balance a budget every year. So this is part of that ugly piece of education that we know exists. And we, well, you know, as much as we hate it, so the teachers are really important. We've been able to move.
Tim, I know. I know the issue of you know, you only get the funding for the students, and if the students are in home school, then that's going to be a reduction in your funding. But I think the biggest question that people had that I saw over and over and over again on social media was, I thought we were going to be moving 80% of our kids back into physical school and trying to social distance and cut down on classroom size. How can we be getting rid of teachers at the same time as we have huge numbers returning, you know, and presumably CARES money is available to fund the extra cost of mitigating against coronavirus transmission? Why do we have to cut teachers? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
CARES money, we received $3.4 million. We're talking about three times the amount that CARES dollars would even provide. And those CARES dollars were not restricted solely to hiring teachers. There were other requirements that we had to use those dollars for, i.e. safety measures, safety protocol, PPE, those things to keep kids and employees safe. The bottom line here is we would love to reduce class size. Absolutely. We know that would we have to spread them out more. Unfortunately, there is an economic piece to that that drives our work as well. So we have to balance the budget, and unfortunately, that's part of what our work is. You know, dismissing teachers is a fiscal question, not an educational one, and an educational decision unfortunately took a back seat to having to balance the budget.
So what you're saying, in essence, is that the money just simply is not available, even CARES Act money included, and so cuts had to be made. But a lot of people, of course, look at Escambia and Okaloosa and say, well, they're not going through this same problem. Mm-hmm. Is there an explanation for why they're not having this same challenge that Santa Rosa's having?
They're not losing the students, I would assume. I don't know what they're doing. I did speak with Malcolm Thomas, superintendent. He is not experiencing a vast migration to homeschool. We are. So that significant difference of at minimum 900 children dictates, obviously, that we do not need those teachers to teach children that aren't there.
Got it.
You know, the state really doesn't care, Andrew, if, you know, you are in a pandemic. They fund you by the number of students that you have. And without those students, we simply receive $0 to educate children that aren't there. And you can't keep teachers on fiscally. It's impossible, unfortunately, to balance the budget and to keep these teachers on. Now, the good news is I feel very confident we will be able to get most, if not all, of these teachers back. We have reduced the number of people who are actually removed to down around 30 teachers. We were able to move the majority of them over to virtual and remote learning. And we even offered positions that were turned down. So we had teachers who said, no, I don't want to teach now. And that's not uncommon this time of the year, unfortunately. I mean, some of the teachers that we contacted and let them know that we were not going to bring them back had even moved. So we get that often as well. They just don't show up for work, which is strange, but they do. So, it's an unfortunate situation, one in which, you know, we don't have the space inside our budget to accommodate. And I get that. I mean, my desire is to keep these teachers employed, unfortunately. Every business has had to make those decisions of letting people go, and it's all driven by the revenue that we receive. We are no different.
And I think I heard you say, and I just want to make sure I heard you clearly, that the initial 80 that you were going to have to let go has actually dropped all the way to 30 that were actually let go in the end. Is that what I heard you say?
That's correct. At the end of Friday, we had about 28 teachers that we had not placed who wanted to be placed.
And I gotcha.
Also important. Some have gotten jobs elsewhere, and I certainly understand that. But we do want to keep those teachers engaged. We are moving them into our substitute teacher pool, and they will be called on immediately to take care of classrooms that we know will need assistance as the COVID pandemic continues.
Yeah, and I just to recap, because you've said this, and I know you said this to me off the air as well, you know, the hope is that maybe as things shift and as students might return, maybe in the spring semester or even partway through, that there might be the need to rehire. To me, it's good news by comparison with what it would have been. It's not going to be 80. It's only going to have been 28, as you said, which is much, much, much better than it would otherwise have been. Well, Superintendent Rozic, I know this is a hard decision to make, and it's a frustrating one, but with a large migration to homeschool, that's really just kind of outside of your control. And I appreciate you kind of answering these questions and giving people a picture of what's to come. And we'll probably try to talk to you again before next Monday when school starts for the children. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for serving our community. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. I look forward to that first day of school call, sir.